Sister Loading. I work for the Health Informatics Branch at CDC Zambia, and I'm a software consultant employed at CTS Global. And I have co-authors on this particular project, if I may call it that, but it's an integration of two systems for a national public health system or framework, which is to link the national standard electronic health record system in Zambia, which is SmartK, with an estimation methodology called the SAVI, which stands for the sample vital registration and verbal autopsy method, to monitor and measure vital events, including cause-specific mortality using cluster sampling. And the co-authors on my team here, Stanley and Melissa, they work for the monitoring and evaluation branch with CDC. Dr. Mark Shields, who's sitting here in the audience, branch chief for health informatics. Derek Munene, who's also on the SmartCare project. The work here, we collaborate as providing technical assistance to the Ministry of Health in Zambia, as well as for the SAVI project itself with the Central Statistics Office and the Ministry of Health in Zambia. So the presentation sort of flows where I give a short profile about the country, an overview of the SmartCare EHR system, some mortality statistics with the aggregate data that we are now beginning to collect with the SmartCare system, an overview of the SAVI methodology implementation in Zambia in 2010, and then to focus on the linkage between these two systems and how an EHR patient-level data can be used to validate SAVI statistics and individual vital event linkages. So the country, Zambia has a population of 13.3 million people, 2010 census, 74 districts. But if you look at the UNICEF statistics in birth and death rates, I have a bunch of numbers there, not going to rattle them all off. But the civil vital registration system currently in Zambia is paper-based. And if you look for specific indicators such as cause-specific mortality, those indicators are reported only by the hospitals in a paper-based reporting system. So the current system is weak and fragmented, and it does not link with the health management information systems within the country. And being paper-based system, it's not very usable, and being since the coverage is only limited to the hospitals, it does not cover deaths in health facilities or in the community, and hence a lot of the national numbers are probably underreported. The SmartCare EHR system in 2006 is now the national standard for EHRs in Zambia. And let me just say, sort of big five, 570 health sites around the country, around 500,000 client records in the system, and different services, but you can think of clinical services, lab order result entry, pharmacy and inventory system, administration with data aggregation, role-based security and reporting, so five different modules or types of things that you can do in the system, as well as five aggregation levels. So within a health facility, you can have sub-sites or multiple computers for different departments. So you have a sub-site level, a facility level, a district, province, and a national level. Two main technology pieces that we use in the system are smart cards for continuity of care and a portable electronic health record, as well as touchscreen data entry for nurses and clinicians to use in the various health facilities. We also have the SmartCare system. The same framework is localized for a blood donor system. It's called Smart Donor, and we've collaborated with the Zambia National Blood Transfusion Service. They are now in all the 9 provinces of the country, and I think they're close to 25,000 records from the old database. Now they are entering it into Smart Donor. We worked with the Central Statistics Office and the National Registration Passport Control Office in developing requirements for a Smart Reg system, which is the vital registration system. Since the development in 2009, the Smart Reg system is now integrated into the SmartCare EHR itself for vital registration event capture. This is just an overview of the development stages of the project, and let me focus on 2006, the ART, or the antiretroviral therapy patient tracking system, was as a module integrated with the antenatal care system, which was then called CCPTS, and that's now evolved into SmartCare. We had national level and provincial level trainings in 2007, 2008, and a rapid implementation by implementing partners and by the Ministry of Health as well. And since then, it's been more of an iterative process of newer deployments, maintenance and implementation, and technical supervision of existing deployments of the system. Just a few statistics about the existing known mortality rates for Zambia. This is the WHO World Statistics proportionate mortalities or top 10 causes of death in Zambia. As you can see, 43% HIV/AIDS, and then 12, 9, and 7% for lower respiratory, malaria, diarrheal disease, and so on. And I'm just going to talk about, sort of very briefly, the kind of statistics data that we are now getting out of SmartCare. Now, the database from the numbers that you're seeing here is the National Electronic Health Record data. Now, this is aggregated, de-identified micro data. So the data from the facilities is rolled up, and this is not dependent on the internet. It can be rolled up with flash drives in a very in an encrypted fashion. And so now the National Ministry of Health has a data set of de-identified data that comes from the patient-level records. So if you look at just some of the statistics, we have about 478,000 client records collected and rolled up to the National Ministry of Health. The number of death events that were collected since the beginning, as in all the events in the system, in this database, were 28,000. The number of death events for HIV-positive clients were 28,138, so almost exclusively the death event data captured was for HIV-positive clients. And the number of these that had a cause of death actually specified were 20,000, and 8,000 of them had a very specific cause. So we excluded the number of death events where they mentioned other or unknown as a cause of death. The chart to the left is the number of death events collected over time. And this is just to give you a sense, this is not the true mortality distribution, but this is a reflection of the data that's being collected. So the drop that you see between 2009 and 2011 is not a real drop in mortality, or the number of, but it is maybe a reduced number of reporting or a reduced amount of data aggregation to the Ministry of Health. So the data that we have currently in SmartCare needs to be cleaned up of these biases, and it has to be extended to a population-based data analysis, which is yet to be done. This is to give you a sense of the number of death events we collected by cause of death. And let's just look at some proportionate mortalities here. This is for the entire time period, and of the 8,000 odd death events. The highest number here is for diarrheal diseases, 32%. Now, this is for the HIV-positive clients. So you will see that HIV/AIDS does not show as one of the top 10 causes of death. But this is a subset within the HIV-positive clients who are on treatment, and some of them were also who were on care, and some of them were also on treatment. What I'm going to do now is just run through a series of proportionate mortalities by year, and we're just looking at, if I can just go back, we're just looking at the period between 2006 and 2010, where the data collection seems to be balanced or seems to be comparable. So this is 2006, and I'm just going to run through a trend. Now, this is really a visual. And if you just look at this, 2007, 2008, 9, 10, and if you want to just do that one more time, you will see that the number of TB death events collected actually increases. So there are some interesting trends that are already coming up, but the data has to be analyzed further. So 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10. So some of them change. The other thing that we can do in SmartCare is we can do geographic information systems mapping of live indicators in the data set. So what we have here is by district in Zambia, the number of death events that were collected for the entire period between 2000 to 2011. And this now, once we have population level census data, or we have data from vital statistics, for sample data, now we can do more comparative analysis and provide visual reports for people to look at mortality rates, but also other vital events. Just a quick overview about the SAVI method. As I mentioned, it's an estimation model to monitor and measure vital events by age, by gender, and also by cause for mortality and other vital events. The implementation in Zambia started with a baseline survey in January 2010, and this was followed by a verbal autopsy. So census supervisory areas or samples across the country were selected, and for the entire SAVI study there were 76 supervisory areas, out of which for phase one in 2010, 33 supervisory areas were selected, and these were selected across different socio-demographic populations to have a better sample of the entire nation. Now, the process is to do a baseline survey within your census supervisory area, and once the census, once the baseline is done, 1 month later the verbal autopsies start. So there are key informants or reporters who come in and speak to the interviewers, who will then go to the corresponding households and do a verbal autopsy and get death-related information. These questionnaires are then evaluated independently by clinicians who are trained in ICD-10 coding. So for every questionnaire that is collected, there are two independent clinicians who provide who assess an underlying or an immediate cause of death. And when there is a dispute, those questionnaires are actually excluded. The initial phase one was done in four of the nine provinces, and this year all the nine provinces are being, the SAVI process is being repeated in all the nine provinces. So this is some data from the SAVI 2010 phase one of the four provinces. About 1,000 death events were recorded, and then there are some mortality rates. The mortality rate, all-cause mortality rate, 17.2%. And then there are lots of other interesting statistics. They actually have a couple of publications that will be published this year. But it's interesting to note that 49% of the deaths reported occurred at home, but 77 of the persons diseased actually visited or sought medical care prior to health. Of the 77%, 46 of them went to a formal health facility. So they actually went to either a health clinic or a hospital, and not just a pharmacy or a traditional healer. A lot of the statistics, the percentages that came from SAVI, they are comparable with that in the African region. So this is very promising and useful information, but currently it's restricted to small areas, and this is based on a verbal autopsy and what people said. So over a period of time, we need to look at the trends within SAVI, but this data needs validation, which we can now do with the EHR. So the linkage between the EHR and SAVI. When the SAVI questionnaires were being prepared, the data elements that went into the questionnaire, they used the structured WHO questionnaires, but the data elements were mapped with the client registration in the smart care system for future linkage. Within the smart care system, the most recent, the upcoming module version 4.5 includes the report of death and birth modules for standard vital registration capture in smart care. Now this is the part that I was talking to you about, the smart reg system that is now integrated into smart care. Also, smart care has different clinical services, maternal health, well care services, ART, TB, and now primary care. The fields that are used for birth and death are also standardized now between these modules. And with this current version that is going to be deployed, SmartCare employs ICD-10 coding for the cause of death, underlying and contributing cause of death, to have a standard that is then that maps with SAVI, which also uses ICD-10 coding standards. In SmartCare, what we have currently implemented is we use the ICPC, International Classification for Primary Care, as a drill down to select the ICD-10 coding, the ICD-10 code for the cause of death. In terms of the framework and the reports, SmartCare can now provide and produce reports for that can then be used for civil vital registration. So the notice of birth and death forms which are used by the Zambian Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Home Affairs are now produced in SmartCare. Also with the births and neonatal deaths in the delivery module, we automatically create vital event registration encounters or details. And the smart care framework is for has de-identified data and also supports data aggregation and role-based security. So if we want to have aggregated vital statistics at a national level, it's possible. Mark spoke about the ad hoc query building, and we are also implementing Smart Monitor, which is a messaging platform for GPRS-based or actually any connectivity-based system where packets of data can be transferred, which could be clinical care-related data, or it could be health-related data, or it could be vital event data that can be then sent to another system. Just to give a quick picture about the different types of linkages that are possible between smart care and Savvy, one of the very first things that we need to do is we need to map the census supervisory areas with the corresponding health facility catchment areas where possible linkage can be done for the clients. And once that linkage is done, the next step would be to take the baseline and verbal autopsy survey and questionnaire and use that as a search for client identification from the EHR, and we'll need deduplication at that level. Once a client has been identified, then there can be data from the prior history or the prior labs before the death that can be used to validate the cause of death that has been identified within the Savvy questionnaire. The other thing that can be done, which I already mentioned, and this is already functional, is vital registration data from SmartCare can be given at a client level on a paper form that can then be used for civil vital registrations. Currently, the civil vital registration process for a birth certificate takes about 3 months in the capital city of the country. So, and many people don't go through the hassle of even filling out the paperwork. And so the SmartCare EHR system can provide this to the client with a sort of a clinic record or a health facility record that will enhance the vital registrations. Plus, of course, we can do aggregate vital statistics that I've already alluded to. Future work and things that are currently going on is to enhance the baseline survey for Savvy to include questions about the SmartCare EHR system. So to ask every client within the survey if they have a smart card or if they have been registered in SmartCare, and if so, which facility and what time period, because that will increase the linkage of at the client level for validation and reduce the number of false positives. SmartCare system needs to be enhanced with a system for deduplication and record linkage with the Savvy system. We also need requirements and indicator definitions to generate aggregate vital statistics from the SmartCare EHR system. And of course, one of the key things is the proliferation of the system and the amount of data that we can collect. So rollout of SmartCare into in all health facilities that can support an electronic health record system, use of all our existing clinical services, including primary care, and also the further deployment, which means enhanced training, enhanced maintenance, and having a better infrastructure and framework to support the EHR system is key in building linkages and interoperability between SmartCare and other systems in the country. With that, I'd like to conclude. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Agreed? Yeah.
Yes, is this on? Okay. The in HIV, we spend a lot of effort conducting sort of sample-based surveys and using very clever techniques such as the Savvy system. Because we lack the faith in the underlying equivalent systems, okay, so we're using surveys instead of systems because we don't trust the systems, or we can say right out that the system doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Okay? But in terms of resources, okay, how do you decide whether the resources should be spent in terms of spreading actual, real, reliable systems, or in terms of developing the the survey methods. How do you make that choice?
I think that's a good question. Just to clarify, SAVI, the current SAVI implementation in Zambia is not just restricted to HIV. The data I presented was from the smart care system for the HIV positive clients. But I think the SAVI initiative is, or the SAVI method or such surveys are complementary to the existing system, especially in resource constrained or developing countries where setting up a civil system or setting up structures within the government or within the Ministry of Health can take decades, whereas some of these statistics and vital registration data are key in budgeting and planning how much people need to spend for health systems. So I think as surveys that are being done in cluster sampling, they do have a place, and they are not meant to replace they're not meant to replace the existing systems. They are meant to augment and support the existing systems. And so I think in terms of what is being done in Zambia, I know the vital registrations piece, they have a process of electronic system to enhance vital registrations. And that's where the Smart Reg piece came into place. We wanted to use Smart Reg, which is just the birth and death record for every client, and that can be used sort of linked almost in this on the same framework as the EHR. And we've developed that system, but it is yet to be piloted. So I think there is benefit in linking these systems, because if we can't put all our funds into one system and say this is the only system that's going to work, the vital registration system is also used for passport control, so it has a lot of other ancillary services that it provides. It also has a national registration. So we can still use the EHR, and we can still use other surveys to augment these systems and to strengthen these systems. So through the EHR system and PEPFAR funding, we have been able to provide the National Vital Registration Office a system that they can use to electronically capture client registrations for births and deaths. Now, that is probably not something that they would have had direct funding to do, but through linking these systems, they would actually now be able to set up something that will work for the country. So I think there is benefit. Mark, did you want to add something?
I mentioned that our branch did sentinel surveillance a number of years ago, but now we're in the process of demonstrating that regular patient records are going to make sentinel surveillance go away. Mm-hmm. And so there's a study underway for comparing the two. And so what I imagine happens is that as civil structures and other routine information systems mature, some of these more expensive sample methods that don't have any other purpose besides to give you a metric go away. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised that if you had a good civil mortality system in place, you would find less and less support for these expensive SAVI methods.
Great. Any other questions for Ivy?
Thank you for the good presentation. I'm just wondering, what's the exit strategy? This is a PEPFAR-funded project. Is the government contributing to the cost of the project? What happens after PEPFAR funding is over? And the other thing that I'm wondering is, of all the HIV patients, what proportion is captured by the smart care system?
Okay, I'm going to answer part of the question and then I think I'll field the rest to my boss, Mark. Currently the system, so the Ministry of Health actually supports and also funds part of the implementation. So it's not just the software development of the system, but they are heavily invested in training, which is sort of the biggest hurdle in any system implementation. So the training mode, so they provide training support, and the training is actually for the existing clinicians and providers. So new people are not actually being hired to use the system, but we want to make it a sustainable solution for existing clinicians and providers to use. So even at the district level, the district health information officers, the provincial health information management team, they are all involved in system training as well as system implementation to make this sustainable. The other part is, I think one of the biggest costs in the system is the cost of the smart card, if you look at it in millions of dollars. And Mark, did you want to add something to that?
Well, the card is about $1 something apiece. Sorry, the card's about $1.10 or $1.30, depending on the size of the card. But it provides you continuity. And there are estimates that good health record systems are better at predicting virological failure on ART than CD4 tests. So how many CD4 tests does it take to pay for a $1 card? This card will last. I've got one in my pocket. This is from 1992 when CDC sent me to a smart card conference. It lasts a while. And so when you amortize the cost of this one expensive part, it's, I think, quite sustainable. I think it actually saves money. I think there's when you have continuity of care from site to site, you don't repeat lab tests, you save time and labor. You don't have, when you have electronic health record system, you don't spend 5 minutes of clinician time trying to find the last CD4 paper record in the record. You just see it because it pops up as the most recent record.
And also with better follow-up, and we have lesser people sort of moving to second line and third line drug regimens, so it can reduce costs.
Yes, and so that was the kicker initially. There was hundreds of dollars a year difference between first and second line drugs. And so you can prevent one person from advancing to second line drugs, and you pay for the system for several hundred others. And if you scale that up for all the people in Zambia that were on antiretrovirals, you pay for the system for the whole country. So I think that's not exactly an answer to would the government have found its own money to do this if we didn't. I don't think they would have, at least on this time frame. But there are things that we do to help development, like build roads, and I think this is one of those things that has done some good. We didn't know that it would. But I think in retrospect, we can say categorically it did.
Mm-hmm. The other question that you had was how the proportion of HIV clients within who are in the smart care system. I don't have an exact number, but I can say that the biggest implementing partners for ART in Zambia, CIDRS, as well as ZPCT and AIDS Relief, they all use now the smart care system specifically for the ART service, and I'm expecting that a lot of them. They are actually capturing data since this is a distributed database system. The numbers that you see, which are the national aggregate, may not reflect the actual counts of numbers of HIV-positive clients in the field since it's a distributed system. And I think with better reporting and better aggregation and a better process and system in place for the Ministry of Health to receive regularly aggregate information from all the different partners and as well as all the different sites, we will see more accurate numbers.
Maybe if I can add from Smart Care Ethiopia, the government in Ethiopia is sharing the huge deployment cost. They are training, they are planning to train 8,000 health officers, data people for the country. Already 1,000 of them at their cost are in diploma courses. They have hired thousands of health information technicians at the district health center and hospital level. This is the government, no paper funding. So I think if governments believe that they can see something out of it, they can share. The only part that we are supporting is the development cost. To be honest, if we add what they do and what we do, theirs is more than what we do. And now they are also starting to buy computers and CDMAs for sites.
I just wanted to thank Dr. Willetta. She's been a great partner in this project.
Okay, I think there was a question here.
Yeah, I was curious if the card was just limited to HIV patients.
No.
So
it's the card is for every client who's registered. Uh-huh. And initially the cards were actually used in welfare services and maternal health services as opposed to only for HIV ART clients, because then that there would be stigma associated with the using of the card and then people wouldn't use it. So the intention is that every Zambian person would have a card of their own.
And is how's that? I'm curious how it's going for you. I mean, is the percentage of people that actually come to the facilities with their card every time? Or
yes, if I remember correctly, in 2005, the system was first piloted in Kapuye district in 16 clinics. And at that time, with the pilot phase, we evaluated that there was a 99% return rate with pregnant women coming back with their cards. I think we've also heard user stories where people prefer to go to sites where smart cards are being issued, because there's a lot of there's a personal pride in owning a card and using the technology. It's also been very interesting. Some of the clinicians have also they've been asking for IT certification now with using the system and being able to use computers. So I think there is added benefit than just providing continuity of care and good health records for patients. But there are lots of other benefits. And yes, I think people prefer to use cards. Now, with this year, I think with last year, the push has been for all implementing partners to also start issuing cards. So now ART clients are also getting cards. We've had cases where we've now actually ordered a set of higher volume cards. We now have 512 kbit cards for people to use for longer. So I think the usage is increasing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So I have a quick question. You might have covered this, but the card itself. So this is a smart card with a chip that has a capacity to maintain medical information in the card.
Yes.
Does it have a magnetic stripe or even a
RFID?
Two-dimensional barcoding systems or anything like that? Or is just pure? What kind of
The card is a SIM chip, almost like a SIM card.
Okay.
And the data is stored. So the entire electronic health record for one client is stored in it. So every time they start in their card, the data gets updated in the facility database, and the latest encounters also get saved onto the card. The latest batch of cards now will also come with a barcode, and the card header or the metadata about the card has sort of a unique 8-digit ID, which can actually be used as a quasi sort of a personal identifier rather than using a passport number or something that can identify the client. It can identify the record that is sort of readable, machine readable as well as readable by clinical providers, so in case they need to maintain a link with a paper record, in some cases which they do. So there is an 8-digit ID, which is unique for every card. There is the new batch also has barcodes.
And has it been linked with the financial system as well at all, or for example, adding some money to an account, let's say, and then being able to use the card to pay for services or something like that?
It hasn't been done. I think the one thing that we are thinking with the primary care is with every encounter, the metadata that we capture is to be able to capture costing information. So when a person goes to a private clinic where they have to pay for a particular service, the costing information can be captured as part of that particular encounter. We haven't yet gone into a system where people can pay using the same card and having money on that card. I don't think we've gone there yet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yeah.
So Mark, in an earlier presentation, talked a little bit about data ownership. You talked about personal pride of having these cards. Do the patients themselves have access to their own records any way that they can have ownership of their own data?
We've thought about that. We've thought about personal health records. So this is getting us one step closer to that. One of the approaches we thought is we'd have kiosks in clinics where people can slot in their own cards and sort of read a report or get some health information. I think that's very easy to do. The system already has patient summary reports that we can display. We just need to make it read-only and something that people can use. Now, I think in the urban setting, there is a good use case for people who are interested in looking at their own records. I think in a country like Zambia, especially if you move into the rural settings, there's not a very high use case for people to look at their own records. But it's certainly doable. I don't think it takes us even one more day of dev or dev time for us to develop the system. The system already supports that. We just need kiosks and people. We probably need clinicians or nurses or someone to assist people to read their cards and to slot it the right way and so on. But I think it's definitely doable. And it gets people now basically have their own record. They can carry it wherever they go. I think that's one of the biggest benefits, as opposed to having a file in one clinic and not in the other. So that last little step, I think, is something we can do.
That's great. Maybe one last question, and I'll finish up here.
So I confess, I've never been a huge fan of smart cards. On one hand, I feel like you could use printable barcodes that cost about 1 cent if you want to just do identification. But if you wanted to actually capture data, why not use off-the-shelf components like flash disks, which are much cheaper and have way more data capability?
We've actually thought of that for images, especially if you want to capture images. Currently, we can't with a smart card. I think one of the reasons we have a card is I think for people, at least for me, it's almost like people, you go with a passport or you go with your patient card, and it's an easier thing for people to remember to go with one little card. Also, if you look at the national system in Zambia, you already have what's called as a national registration card. And it's a little paper laminated document that has a national identifier. So I think in the mindset of people to use an electronic health record, it's easier for them to use a card. If you say SIM chip, a lot of people who carry cell phones sort of get it, as opposed to giving them a flash drive that, you know, they can't use. But I think longer term, we'll have to consider alternate portable records as well and other technologies. And flash drives have been on our mind, especially for larger records and transferring images with the record. Yeah.
Just a quick comment. I would rather sit on a smart card than a flash drive. Mine's in my wallet, and I think guys tend to carry them there.
Yeah.
But I think also we can't yet buy flash drives at the same price. I think when the price point is there, you know, for a different media, I think it makes a lot of sense to move to higher capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think currently in some sense, there's a sense of security, I think, with a card, in the sense that it can be read with, I'm sure we could lock your flash drive, but people sort of understand that it can only be read with that reader on that particular machine. It can't be read anywhere else. No one can take my flash drive and try to steal it. And so people, you know, yeah, I know you can hack it, but I don't want to. But the thing is, I think in the mindset of people or the populace to use it, my sense is having a smart card seems a bit more secure than a bunch of flash drives that people can carry around. I'm just thinking.
Well, this has been fascinating. I'm thinking here in this country we have, well, no standard for card issuance in healthcare. Of course, we don't have a national patient identifier. Each health plan provides their patient, their enrollees, with their own way of identifying with their own cards, and providers sometimes provide them with cards, and we don't use any or their little smart cards here. And in the financial side, we're still in the old, magnetic stripe methodology, where in Europe you can't carry any more a magnetic stripe card because it won't work. So I'm fascinated by the fact that we're seeing this smart card technology evolving in countries like Zambia and in other countries. And, I envy those because I think we would benefit from having some of that in this country. But thank you so much. Let's give them another round of applause. Thank you.